Gracious God, bless my words, bless our thoughts and our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, before I start, I want to say that I'm not being standoffish, but I'm keeping my distance because I've had a heavy cold, so that's why I'm not getting close up and personal this morning. Second thing is, that wasn't the gospel I was expecting at all. And so my sermon has been prepared with reference to a different gospel, and I'd read it to you, except that I haven't got I left my Bible out because it's heavy. But I'll tell you the story in the one that I was expecting, which was Luke 12, 16 to 30, which is about Jesus is asked by a chap to tell his brother to share his inheritance. And Jesus says, I'm not here to do that sort of thing. And then he goes on to tell the story of a rich farmer who had done really well, and he decided, good, I can eat, drink and be merry for the rest of my life. I'll build new barns, put all my stuff in there, and I don't need to worry anymore. And then God says to the rich farmer, you idiot, tonight you're going to die. And where's your treasure going to be then? Which is, you know, of course, what happens. And then the passage that you'll all be familiar with. Sorry, I'm just going to... Thank you. The passage you'll all be familiar with is where Jesus says, consider the lilies, they neither toil, but Solomon in all his glory was not robed like one of these. And the ravens, you know, God has care for the ravens. So he says, don't worry about anything, God will provide. Seek God's kingdom first. That's what I think it's all about. But we'll see how we get on. Right. Have you brought your apples? The ones that aren't still on the trees. But isn't it a great idea? A collective community apple pressing. And how appropriate that is happening today. For today we celebrate our harvest festival. And the church looks absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning. The colours, the scents, the sheer beauty of it all. So thanks to all of those who've decorated it so beautifully. And then an extra treat, this lovely music, the rutter from the singing group. So thanks to them as well. And the installation, I mustn't forget that. Take a chance to an opportunity to contemplate and reflect on it. Now, it's easy to be romantic, sentimental even, about harvest. But let's face it, tending the ground involves a lot of effort and sometimes disappointment and even heartbreak. God has provided us with the raw materials. He has entrusted us to use and take care of creation. Perhaps we should celebrate several harvests. Spring lamb, haymaking, the wheat and the barley, the fruit. Edmund can tell us all about the joys and tribulations of life on the farm. The dry weather last June meant the grass didn't grow. No hay. Hay is essential for winter fodder. And sheep can be very picky. Only the sweetest and freshest hay will do. A wet July provided some catch-up, but the haymaking was sparse and late this year. The vagaries of the weather, climate change, drought, flood, fire, are not the only problem. There are others. Disease, like avian flu, the rising cost of fuel and fertilizer, plagues and pests. Farming is hard work and often precarious. You know, a few years ago, I was driving through my parishes and I saw an extraordinary sight. It was a field completely covered with swans. White with swans. Day after day, they were still there. "What's going on?" I asked a local farmer. "The swans are feeding on oilseed rape. You can't scare them off, they come back. And they are, of course, protected by law. They'll stay there until that crop is completely destroyed." Edmund can give us the lowdown on farming life. But for most of us, harvest means flowers and fruit and vegetables that grow in our own gardens. How much on display today has come from your gardens and your allotments? I bet most of it has. Some things have done well this year. Apparently it will be a good year for English wine and for pumpkins. So Halloween will be mega. But on the whole, it's been tricky because of that bone-dry June and sopping wet July. Nevertheless, cast your mind back to the Ducklington show. It was an absolute triumph. A fantastic day. A fantastic turnout. Not to mention the prize-winning entries in the tent. Immaculate tomatoes glowing like rubies. Perfect potatoes polished as marble. A towering leek. Onions, firm, smooth, unblemished spheres. And I haven't started on the dahlias. These beauties, of course, have their origin in God's creation, but are perfected in partnership with human skill and human care and human artistry. And sometimes disappointment and hardship. Listen to the prophet Habakkuk. "Though the fig tree does not blossom, and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of our creation." Now that's a bleak message. And it's one in stark contrast to the gospel that we didn't have, which I've tried to tell you about. The farmer was rubbing his hands in glee at his own good fortune and stuffing money into his pension pot, taking out insurance, insulating the loft, etc. "You fool," says God, "tonight you will die. Who'll get your treasure then?" And Jesus goes on to say, "Don't worry, don't strive for food and drink. God knows your needs. Enjoy the moment, don't cling, give, strive for God's kingdom." And the poet R.S. Thomas, I'm sure I've quoted this before, but still a lovely passage. "Life is not hurrying on to a receding future, nor hankering after an imagined past. It is a turning aside like Moses to the miracle of the lit bush, to a brightness that seemed as transitory as your youth was. What is the eternity that awaits you?" we have agency, just as we do in our gardens, we can make a difference. So let's take a quick look at St. Paul. He's writing to the prosperous community in Corinth on behalf of the famine-stricken and starving folk in Jerusalem. Be generous, says St. Paul. Don't be reluctant. God loves a cheerful giver. And God will bless you abundantly for your efforts. And isn't that our experience? When we give, don't we also receive? As a community, when we welcome and support others, like our friends in the hotel, or the children in the school, when we give to the food bank, when we eat together at the harvest supper, we celebrate. We celebrate one another's company. And aren't we blessed in the doing of it? Aren't we unselfconsciously joining in the building of the kingdom of God? And I want to thank Andrea here. She's brilliant in all sorts of different ways. I couldn't number them all, but especially brilliant, I'm sure you'll all agree, in building community, building the kingdom of God. I want to finish by telling you about Pastor Saeed. Pastor Saeed is a minister in Beirut. Now, the Lebanon is poor, volatile, and diverse, and just at this very moment in danger of being invaded yet again by Israel. There are lots of different ones. And they're all vying for one another, sometimes violently. Anyway, a few years ago, there was a terrible explosion on a ship in the harbour. Much destruction and extensive loss of life. Pastor Saeed said that he was warned beforehand in a dream to evacuate everyone from his church, which he did. It was later destroyed in the blast. The next day, he and his fellow Christians set about providing food and blankets and clothing for the destitute. How did you do that, I asked. How did you pay for it? Oh, he said, I've got access to charities and NGOs. He said, I can find resources. The church's help was generous, unconditional, no questions asked, no strings attached. 2 years later, the Christians put a gentle note in the food parcels. Would you like to know more about Jesus? The response was 100% yes. So let us pray. Dear God, give us your grace to celebrate, to enjoy the present moment, and to share your gifts with others and build your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.